I'm going to get my recording going. We've had some weird stuff. If you go to our website and you listen to our radio shows, the last, well, this month, August, is, I sound like a robot. It's like, and it's, I don't actually, hope I don't talk that bad. But anyway, Solomon said money's the answer to everything. And when you look at all this corruption and you look, we're losing sight of everything. Okay, I mean, $1.2 trillion. You don't even know what that is. That's your inflation buster bill, Mr. Build Back Batter, Build Better, whatever. Mr. Brain Dead Biden's Build Back Batter, Better Bread Batter mess. We are dealing with corruption. You go all the way back to the election of 1800, which I accidentally found myself researching here recently. Shockingly, sadly, the Democrats, brain, you know, whatever, sadly, tried to steal that election. I mentioned this recently, but listen. Thomas Jefferson, okay, you know, they're like, oh, Trump bad, Trump mean, Trump talk harsh, you know, it's like they're that dumb. And yeah, you go back and read the rhetoric from Thomas Jefferson when the Democrats started trying to corruptly steal the election of 1800. Jefferson, this is, I want you to understand something. This is a fact. He did not only threaten them with a hanging after being maimed and hacked up. He threatened their families. Okay? He said, if you continue this way, the consequences towards you for bodily harm prior to being hung and to your families after you are hung will be so harsh that you will basically, I don't know the rest of it, but I mean, he basically said that it would be, the consequences would be so harsh and so driven and so destructive. But what was Thomas Jefferson saying? He was like, you will not steal this republic. And folks, we are a republic. We have a set of ground rules, a set of bylaws that are non-negotiable. This is America. I am sorry. I don't care what side of the fence you're on or what rubbish you've been fed. America stands for truth and justice. You know, in North Dakota, of all places, I think it's Fargo, but, you know, their city commissioner, whatever he is, the head of the, you know, commission, or I don't know. I'm not that knowledgeable on Fargo, but he shot down the citing or reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance in schools and before their meetings and prayers. You know, the whole gang, the whole situation. Because it's not an inclusive statement, because he said, because he's an atheist, he's an absolute supposed atheist. I saw a video of him shooting it down, and he's scoffing and mocking. Read Proverbs. It talks deeply and repetitively about a scoffer and a mocker. If you want to impress God, scoffing and mocking is not the way to do it. He's laughing and jesting like he's, what, a great guy? Well, he's shutting down the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. His complaint is, will not all people in America experience liberty and justice? I agree. But we have a standard, praise the Lord. Folks, it's time to get a little bit ticked off. It's time to be strong. It's time to be wise. God did not call you to be thick-headed. He called you to wisdom. There are endless scriptures that talk about wisdom. The whole book of Proverbs is about it. The book of Ecclesiastes. James discusses it over and over and over. Jesus Christ himself told you to pray for wisdom. The Bible tells you to seek wisdom. America stands for liberty and justice for all. Here is the problem with the liberal, godless mindset. It's always the exception, never the rule. And I'll tell you what, no system is perfect. But ours is designed to be under constant hypothetical pressure from the constituency, the voter base, to self-refine, to become stronger, faster. You know, it's like training for a sport. I remember when I was in high school, they had this organization called Bigger, Faster, Stronger. And they would come to schools and they would encourage you, drive you, motivate you to become bigger, faster, and stronger. And when they left, you believed you could. They'd teach you how. That, my friends, is what America is about. Bigger, faster, stronger. That is the system that our founders tried to set up. We want to be able to grow. We want to be able to maintain agility while we increase in strength. And I'll tell you, I spent years in banking and money, and that's my world. That's just where God led me, and praise him. The faster part, one of the secrets to success in business is agility. It's the willingness to adapt. If you are unwilling to adapt, you will fall. You will fail. You have to adjust and turn. Now, I'll be honest, I'm getting older now. And thank God I have my beautiful, wonderful, brilliant, spectacular, incredible daughter who's my legacy. She's amazing. She's a godsend. I didn't see that coming. My son is brilliant. I have two kids. My son's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he knows my industry really well. But I always thought he was my protege. And he didn't, it's just not his calling right now. He's a great kid. And I'm telling you, last night my daughter-in-law, my son's wife, who he's been married to now for 17 years, I think, had our fifth grandchild. That's cool. And my son has committed his life to, he's, you know, overeducating himself, but he is homeschooling his kids, okay? And I thought he would be my protege. But no, out of the blue, you know, my daughter was exposed to the business growing up. She didn't have what I call the backroom knowledge, which is, the depth of experience and numismatic knowledge. But I'll tell you what, she runs this business like a queen with brilliance and excellence, and she's amazing, and praise the Lord. But that's my point was, I'm getting a little bit older. I've burnt myself out pretty darn good, and I've run hard. I'm that kind of a guy. I was telling my wife recently, by the way, I'm talking about the ability to adapt, but I was telling my wife recently, I'm like, you got to give me permission to take a break. It's like I'm this psychotic guy that can't stop. I have to win. And there's a series of events throughout my life that occurred, you know, and the rejection and abandonment and all these weird things that create that. But it's like, it reminds me of, I've always loved dogs. I love dogs more than you can imagine. I mean, I'm the guy that's on the floor. I love dogs. I love dogs so much. It's terrible. But I've had dogs in the past. I was really into golden retrievers forever, and now I ended up with two Bernedoodles and two golden retrievers. I had one pass away a while ago here, which was sad, but that's what they do, unfortunately. But I've had these dogs where you... I had one where you... She was on her deathbed, couldn't move. But you throw that tennis ball, and she's going to tear after it, rip herself up. You know what I mean? That's how I am, I think, with, you know, goals and success and whatever. It's just who I am. I strive for excellence. I want to be the best all the time. I never stop. I kill myself, and that's just life. And everyone's like, oh, you got to take a break. Well, to be honest, I'm finally at 56 learning, well, maybe I'm a little over-motivated. There's some things in my life. You know, it's just we all get formed by God in the way we do. I was listening to a guy here recently about talents. Every person has a specific set. A total non-believer, and it was beautiful to listen to because with no knowledge of God, he had gained the wisdom that we all have a set of specific skills and talents, which is what the parable of talents from Jesus Christ tells us. We've been each given a set of talents, and it was someone I was talking to. And he's very brilliant, godly young man. Neat guy, has his own business, just a really neat guy. And I was complimenting him on some areas of his life, and he goes, well, I'm weak. I'm not good here and here and here. And I go, why do you say that? We were talking about witnessing and sharing. Oh, my family, they're so much more outspoken than me. Well, I know his family, obviously. And there's a deep family root here in the city. And his family's a Christian family. And they're well rooted in a lot of Christian operations. And he's right. Some of them are a lot more verbal and outspoken. But he's not called to be that guy. But he's good at what he does. And I talked to him about, you do not compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself, you don't compare, I don't know how you say that, but you compare yourself to God. What you do is you lay before the Lord and let his standards establish who you are. We are all different. Jealousy is an emotion that is only acceptable for the Lord to have because he's the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords. He made you. When you take that affection that belongs to him and that appreciation and you move it to another object, that's what the whole point of idolatry is. You're taking the affection that is due to your creator and you're pointing it at another direction. People who don't walk with the Lord, I just dealt with a situation where I, you know, I was involved with a business relationship with a non-believer, and it was associated with another non-believer, and this guy is super driven, goal-oriented, incredibly successful, phenomenally successful. But he has let this endearment towards a certain person in this case, but also in his case, goals and tasks and accomplishments get this God-given desire to please focused away from God. God wants that on him. The cool thing about God is, there's more than one cool thing, by the way, when you point that desire and affection at him, he gives you everything else. But when you point that affection away from him, it evaporates into ashes. You know what I mean? It's like when you trust in the Lord and you pour your heart, soul, mind, and strength into him, as Jesus told us to do, you get the whole world in a proper perspective the way you're supposed to receive it, because he's God. He's real. And I believe that he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Okay? He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present, everywhere. So when people say, I mean, which just disgusts me, oh, I'm going to trust in the universe. Well, what you're really saying is, I'm relying on the life force that comes from the God of the Bible, our creator, but I want to do it without his input. I just want to let everything, I want to let all the chips or dominoes fall into place. Okay, good. Roll the dice. See how that works out for you. I'll tell you what. When the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. And you're like, really? Well, you mean if I, well, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But the problem is, as you delight yourself in the Lord, your will and your heart is being turned and molded to align with his. And you can get all philosophical, and that's awesome to do. Excuse me. But he's still God. And it's actually good to be philosophical. But there's a difference between being philosophical and burying your nose in philosophy. The Bible is interesting. God gave us the desire, will, and ability to seek philosophical conversation because we're intellectual beings. We all have different genetic makeups and different backgrounds. And anyone who's raising young children, encourage open thought. Do not box them in. I'll tell you, I went through a series of events in my life, and I had a lot of really wild experiences and, you know, bounced around from here to there. And the ability to think open-mindedly is what saved me. When we put people or children under this, like a coffee press, you know what a coffee press is? You put the grounds in and you got the top and you push it down and you squeeze out the coffee. That's not what God wants us to be. He wants us to examine life, to consider it, to live it, to learn it, to feel it, and to come to our own conclusion that he's God. I was talking to a gal here recently, and I know I ramble and I apologize. I hope it doesn't annoy you. But was talking to a gal here recently about her, I think, great, basically her granddaughter was marrying a guy and they were shacking up together beforehand, and he had a rough upbringing and he'd been bounced around like a pinball, foster care and group homes, which I can relate to a little bit. And she was talking about, he's an atheist. I said, no, he's not. Oh, yeah, he is. No, he's not. He's mad at God. And you know what, folks? It's okay to be mad at God. You are an intellectual being. You have a right to be angry with God. But what's important is in Revelation 3, and I've discussed this, it says, I wish, God says, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're neither, aka lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. God would rather have you angry at him, hate him, whatever, or be all in on him, than just sitting around like a lukewarm, you know, piece of burnt toast, I guess. That's a really dumb example. But God doesn't want us lukewarm. We're not, as a creation, designed to be lukewarm. We're designed to be all in or all out or all up and all down. We are dynamic beings. We are in a constant state of motion, okay? You're either going up or you're going down in your relationship with the Lord. You are not, there's no such thing as stagnant. Now, yes, do we backslide? Yeah, that's going down. We can go through periods of time in our life where we're like, man, I haven't grown in the Lord. No, you went backwards. You either need to be infiltrating yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, and your soul with the Word of God to grow, or you're going backwards. It's just the way God made us. And that's a great thing. We're dynamic beings. But what happens in our society is we have the Henry Ford system of employment where we put people through the education system. And trust me, I'm glad, if for no other reason because I have an academic background that's hypothetically impressive, that I can attack the academic system, because when you have, I had some notes here I can't find, but anyway, I'm going to wing her. You ever heard that before? Yeah, every time you listen to my show. So anyway, academically, they are brainwashing us. The academic system is designed to create stagnancy. You become self-consumed. You overstimulate your mind. If you deal with someone who considers themselves a, you know, spectacular academic, they don't argue for the rule, they argue for the exception. God's about the rule. God's about the standard. God sets the standard. God is the standard. When you walk with the Lord, you walk with the standard. There's an exception to every single rule. There's always a group that breaches everything and breaks everything. It's kind of like these special interest groups that are always creating this madness on Capitol Hill. The media loves them, absolutely adores them, because they create trauma and tragedy. And what's crazy about it is they have done endless polling and surveys to show you, as the general populace, like that. You want to hear about the exception all the time. But guess what? The rule isn't interesting to us. You don't hear. There was a song back in the 70s, and I can't remember what it was, of course, but it talked about news, and it said, you know, there's no news that says, hey, it was a great day today. There was sunshine and everything went great. No, we want to always hear about the tragedies, the horrible experiences that everyone's had, these terrific, horrific life experiences. Why? I don't know. If you drive in Spokane on the interstate, you'll understand. You get three cops on the side of the road with their lights flashing. It may be because somebody lost their contact lens and they're trying to help them find it, but oh, traffic slows way down. You get a massive traffic jam. Why is that? Rubbernecking, they call it. They're looking for blood. They want to see what happened, something bad. Which is also sad that our law enforcement system has become this way, that we're like, oh, something bad must be happening. Oh, wait, there's a lot of cop cars. Something really, really bad has to be happening. Cops don't get to show up for good stuff. They don't get to meet people on their best day. And sadly, that affects their entire perspective of reality. You know, they end up with a skewed perception of reality, which is the definition of a mental illness. The definition of a mental illness is a skewed perception of reality. And sadly, after 5 years of service, 95% of law enforcement officers on psychological profiles will test out as sociopathic, which means they lose their emotion, empathy, and sensitivity towards people. But that's the whole system. I mean, you don't call the... I mean, obviously it wouldn't do you any good if you call the police and said, hey, can you send out an officer? I am having a terrific day. I'm sitting out back drinking some iced tea. My daisies are blooming. The sun's shining. Can you send out a police officer? At least I haven't done that. You might do that. And if you do, you're wasting taxpayer resources, so knock it up. But it's just our human nature. The media knows that. You thrive on that. They want you to think negative. Fear. The two most influential resources or sources of information in our socioeconomic makeup are the media and academia. Academia, if you really understand it, and I know there's people out there that never went to college and they, you know, they're like, ah, it's just brainwashing. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I studied hard sciences, okay, math, statistics, economics, which also economics has become gray. But the bottom line is math. You can't fake math. Contrary to when my daughter was in junior high and she had some math extra credit problems, and her dad has a master's in applied stats and math, that's me, and she had some extra credit problems she couldn't figure out. And I'm like, would you like me to help you with that? And she goes, it was in trigonometry. And she goes, no, Dad, you wouldn't understand. Give me a shot. Nah, Dad, math's different now than when you were in school. I'm like, really? I wonder if Sir Isaac Newton would agree with that. Mathematics never changes. Mathematics is the language of God. Everything physically is explainable through mathematics. And what's really cool is, in the few cases now where we haven't determined the mathematics to define things, overall, in general, we have. You get into things like quantum physics, okay? People get hung up on quantum physics. What is quantum physics? It's inexplicable, okay? What's weird with quantum physics is when we get the electron microscope at a million power and we look at the most basic atomic level, we literally see atoms appear and disappear. They come, they go. What is that? Well, two things. One, it's hyperdimensional, which means it's outside of the realm of our 3.5-dimensional system. And I say that and people argue with me. Here's 3.5 dimensions. Length, width, height, half a time. How's that make sense? Well, time. You can move forward. Can you move back in time? I'm guessing not. Can you look forward in time? No, but can you look back? Yeah, it's called a memory. God gave us 3.5 dimensions. Why? Because that last half dimension is the critical explanation of our ability to be redeemed by Christ. You have to make free will decisions as you move forward. And you can base that on prior experience when you look back. So like I said, you can't look forward, but you can look back. You're continuously moving forward, but you can't move back. You can't go back and change time. So you are accountable. That's the way God made it. Praise the Lord. I personally don't believe, I think there's biblical explanation that Lucifer, the dark one, the evil one, the dark force, the enemy, he has a different relationship with time than we do. He can move around in time. That's where Nostradamus, you know, people are like, oh, have you read Nostradamus? I'm like, yep. And he's a fool. So basically what Nostradamus is saying is he's got prophecies. But here's the problem. We have free will. We can change the future. There's a path that human beings are on that we apparently can't get off of because we're so predictable, it's kind of ridiculous. We look at animals in the wild and we go, hey, you know, I can trap this animal because he does this certain behavior all the time. Even though we have free will, Lucifer can watch us and he's the master, the greatest creation of God, seriously. The most beautiful, powerful, incredible thing. He fell from grace in a huge way. But he has the entire forces, spiritual forces underneath him. He's got the power. He is something significant, which is why even Daniel and Paul in the Bible say, don't go taking that one on. Even Paul said to respect the principalities. You, if you think you're scolding the devil, good luck. He will sift you like wheat and crush you and chuck you out. They're on a different realm, a different level, a different dimension. It's beyond us. We are not physical beings trying to experience spirituality. We are spiritual beings having a physical or human experience. You are a spiritual being. I've discussed the fact that of sentience, the ability to see yourself seeing, watch yourself watching, observe yourself observing. That's not, I mean, we accept everything in a baseline state. We're like, yeah, it's the way it is. I was born this way, and that's the way it is. And then they're like, there ain't no God. Like, what in the world is traveling through your head? The complexity of you as a human being is so phenomenal, so baffling. I mean, people spend their entire lives studying one cell. You're made up of trillions. They interact. They react. They intercommunicate. I can't tell you how, why, what, where. So science is the observation of the obvious. We hypothesize. We think this is what we see. And now we're going to test the hypothesis. And bing, bang, boom, yep, that's correct, or no, it's not. We're not creating anything. I love this. I believe in science. This COVID retardation. Oh, I believe in science. I don't believe in God. I believe in science. Science is nothing more than the human capacity to comprehend on the most minuscule level what God created and what God did. I mean, so you can observe God. I believe in science. I believe in my ability to kind of sort of a little bitty bit comprehend some kind of little minuscule amount of what God did. But boy, I'm going to hang my faith on that one. Good luck, guys and girls. That is taking you nowhere. So what? You can open your eyes, but sentience is the ability to see yourself seeing, observe yourself observing. And there may even be a third level to that. I haven't really gone deeply into that, but I'm going to probably ponder that on my bed at 4 a.m. here soon because I just said it. Is there a third level? Body, soul, spirit. Maybe there is. I'm going to look into that. But I can tell you there's at least two levels. Because I can contemplate myself contemplating. Think of that. That's two beings. You're able to watch yourself watching. Think of yourself thinking. You're already a guaranteed two beings in. I'm gonna try to ponder the third. I think that may exist. I don't know. Body, soul, spirit. What's the difference? You know, I know people have all the answers. I get some of the weirdest correspondence. And I'm sorry, but if you look up the Dunning and Kruger effect, the more foolish people are, the more someone lacks the ability to comprehend, the smarter they think they are. I get some of the weirdest correspondence. You wouldn't even believe it. People, guys, wake up. I have some, these people write, you know, I got some crazy postcard here recently about Buddhism and how I'm a self-righteous, you know, judgmental, blah, 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 and I think that only Christians go to heaven and, you know, and Buddhists aren't bad, like, whatever. Buddhism is just philosophy. Buddhism doesn't feed your spirit. It may trickle your spirit or intrigue it, but it doesn't feed it. It doesn't resolve it. Buddhism is just philosophy. Buddhism has little bitty bits of wisdom. You want wisdom? Scrap Buddhism. Go read the book of Proverbs. And do it over and over and over and over the way it's written. There's 31 chapters. How many days in the longest month? Oh, 31. What's the shortest month? February 28. Interesting. The first 28 chapters are written by Solomon. Then there's a few thrown in at the end by his friends, which is really cool. Because his friends knew Solomon was super wise, and he had some buds that saw wisdom like he did. What a cool bunch of guys. They'd get together and spew wisdom. And he let some of his buddies write some stuff down. And he created scripture based on his buddy's perspective of reality. I think that's super cool. They respected Solomon. The Queen of Sheba came from Ethiopia and gave him, I don't remember the amount of talents of gold, but a talent of gold was the body weight of a man, which at the time was about 160 pounds. 160 pounds of gold ain't so shabby. I mean, we have that at times. Let me figure that out. So right now, at the gold value alone, that's about $4.2 million at spot. If they're American Gold Eagles, you're pushing $5 million. That's what a talent, one talent. Now, that may not mean much, but God's saying, you know what you're worth? $5 million in gold. That's what you're worth to him. You're a talent, one talent. She brought something like 250 talents just to gain his wisdom, to get advice. And it says she left, blown away, pleased, happy, excited that she had brought that amount of wealth to give him. And when she left, she thought, now that was a good use of money. Think of that. You figure whatever it is, 250 talents, you're talking like $1 billion. She came to Solomon, here's $1 billion, give me wisdom. And when she left, she was like, well, that was a bargain. I'm going with Solomon was kind of smart. It's either 1st or 2nd Kings, I think, 17, where Solomon, the whole thing kind of lays out, and it was, you know, some deal went down between God and Solomon, and he was David's son, and God said, you know, I owe you one. This is really the redneck version, by the way, so don't go scripture quoting me on this. God says, I owe you one. What do you want? Solomon goes, you know what I want? I want wisdom. And here's why I want it, God. Because I want to help your people. He watched his father, David, love on people and bless the nation at a level we can't even comprehend. And God goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go a step further. And the Bible tells us God does far more than we can ask or imagine. And you need to believe in this God. Stop putting lids on your faith. Stop thinking simple and boring. If you know the God of the universe, worship him as the God of the universe. He owns it all. You're his child. God said, I'm going to do one more, one better. I'm going to give you wisdom. But because you didn't ask for the head of your enemies and you didn't ask for all these other things that everyone asks for that I hear constantly, gimme, 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 gimme. That's what God hears when you pray. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's not what God needs to hear. Christ said clearly, God knows your needs. He says if he takes care of the lilies of the field and he takes care of insects and birds, why wouldn't he take care of you? Do you know how many times the failures in our lives, these people that are, quote, homeless, because they give up on God. They give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. They're not asking for him to truly lead or guide their lives. They're just feeding their flesh, okay? We're all broken. I get it. But it isn't about perfection that pleases God. It's about your heart condition. God said, I'm going to do one more for you. Not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to make you the richest man and the wisest man that's ever walked on the face of this earth before or after. And guess what? You go back and do the math on what God gave Solomon. It is astonishing. Blow your mind out, astonishing, beyond stupid. You know, now we've got, Apple or whoever, you know, Tesla, trillion-dollar corporations. Neat. Solomon was richer. Elon Musk, actually kind of respect the guy. Solomon was richer. God blessed his socks off. That is the God that you personally serve. Now, Solomon had a different deal than you and I, because I believe that when he got wisdom, he got the mind of God. And I think that in simplicity, he comprehended things you and I can't. But he had no lid on his thinking. There was no limit to his thinking. And if you study and read what he built, and I mean, it's beyond. That's how, you know, Babylon came and took it all. And I could get into the details now, but I don't have the time. Unbelievable. Is far beyond your comprehension. Some of the science that took place back then would blow your mind. The bronze baths that were, you know, whatever, 3.5 cubits thick and however many hundreds of cubits wide, and they've done all this math on them, and the actual parabolic angle of these bronze baths, which was such a quantity of bronze. To this day, there's not that much bronze in one location, and he had multiples. Well, I've been to Israel, and I'll tell you what, just like Spokane, it gets cold in the winter. Those bronze baths didn't. They maintain temperature 365, 24/7. I don't know, you need to do the 7 part, but whatever. You get my point? Solomon was kind of smart. So he had his buddies write some scripture, and he threw it in at the end. So on those special months that are longer than 28 days, you get to read the scripture from some of his friends. And there's some of them are pretty awesome. One of them is like, he goes, there's things I don't understand, you know. He talks about eagles in the sky and snakes on the ground. And then one of them he throws in, a man with a maiden. The drive of a man when he falls in love is incredible. Jesus Christ compares his love for the church to a marriage. And I'm going to go with a healthy marriage. The love of a man for his woman. Love is love's an intangible. What is it? You don't know. Why do you love? I don't know. But it's not from evolution, because I'll guarantee you evolution doesn't benefit from love. Oh yeah, Kevin, it's a reproductive design and desire. Okay, so go to the ghetto. You got guys reproducing all over the place. There's no love. There's lust, you know. That is not a healthy environment. That doesn't create some of our finest citizens. Obviously, if you can tell, I'm not a huge fan of evolution. Okay? But a couple things to drop in here before we wrap. I talked about education and media. Our educational system is, so Thomas Jefferson started the school system. He knew that a good education was the key to a great nation. He wanted you to learn the sciences and the ability to contemplate. So you need a math book, an English book. You need to learn about science, but he also said you need a newspaper. Thomas Jefferson said you need a newspaper. What's that all about? He wanted us to know what's going on and to be involved, to be civically responsible. You need to be civically responsible. You've got to take responsibility. Don't lie to yourselves and say, oh, it's all so negative, I can't deal with it. Don't do that. It is negative. You're getting lied to all over the place. Find sources you're not being lied to. If you're online, I think the Epoch Times is pretty good. E-P-O-C-H. And trust me, I get as sick of logins and apps and passwords as anybody. I can't stand it. I can't keep track. But then if you use the same password all the time and then your Apple computer says, hey, you're using the same password all the time, you're risking all this. Well, I really don't have that much to risk, to be honest with you. My business is in physical precious metals. You can break into my books. You can do whatever you want. You're not getting anything. Because my wealth is in God created, God ordained, God authorized hard assets. You can hack my computer all you want, but you're not getting my gold. I got a nice vault or two or five. But the whole thing is, get information. You know, the Bible, what's it say in Proverbs? Seek wisdom. And above all, seek wisdom. It says it twice. It says more than gold or silver, seek wisdom. The house of the wise will be filled with treasures and riches. What? You're telling me that God says that, yep, he says it. I didn't. He says if you learn his name and you study and you worship him and you research him, which is wisdom, you'll get everything else that the earth has to provide. Why? Because if you love God and you commit yourself to him, all of it comes into order. It makes sense. It's not love of money. It's God's blessing. He didn't put us here to be homeless and poor. I mean, let's be honest. Do you really think that's the God you worship? Well, you know, Kevin, I believe if you really serve the Lord, you're going to be living in a 82-year-old single-wide trailer with holes in the roof. And no, if that's your standards, raise the bar. Because that is not the God that I serve. But the God that I serve wants fiscal stewardship. Be wise. Stop chasing a fantasy for money. I think that's in Ecclesiastes 10. Invest your wealth in hard assets, period. Period, period, period. Precious metals. People are like coming in and they're like, how do I do this? It's as simple as it gets. You come in, you bring cash, you walk out. You got silver, you got gold. You got a substantial quantity, we got depository. It's simple. We'll help you build a portfolio if you have a significant amount of money. People get into well into the six figures and beyond sometimes. We take great care of you. You're not going to get a better deal anywhere in the nation. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to make this an infomercial, but I believe in what I do 100%. I'm committed to what I do. I'm committed to you, my believer friends and customers. You cannot find another institution in this industry nationwide that will do for you what Coins Plus will do for you. You have my word. And trust me, if you knew what that's worth, I've spent a lot of years, many decades establishing that. Our word is a rock. You don't have to know more than me. I know more than you when it comes to my industry. We will take care of you, okay? Period. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a beautiful weekend. Take care. God bless. I love you all. Thank you.